AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We gotta get out of this on camera. Yeah. We're gonna be in up top too much gangster shit.
Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen. Without further ado.
Huh?
Without further
talk
ado.
Talk your shit, OG.
Nah, because this is well overdue. I think today we probably got one of our most requested trap guests.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
A legendary trapper.
Who, motherfucker? Who?
Southside legend.
Who?
Oh, shit.
Y'all, everybody, you know Shawty.
I know Shawty.
Last week he had just served, he was serving 50 last week.
I know Shawty now.
Now home be coming through with QPs. He be won't have P with the flavor.
Ooh, talk your shit.
I'm talking about, not only do we hang around a bunch of players, but when they hang around, they stand in a circle.
That's
ooh,
crazy.
And make a whole player circle.
Ooh, and all he want for his birthday is a big booty hoe.
Come on, man. And he a grown man.
What?
Off top.
Uh-huh.
But in his heart, he's still a titty boy.
And a duffel bag boy.
Come on, man. This the only, only nigga you know that was trapping and playing basketball at the same time. Time out. Let me serve these J's.
Let me serve these who?
DJ.
Ooh, let me serve these who?
YSL belt buckle. Y'all niggas show is looking. I thought that was the name.
I did too.
Come on, man. Not one chain.
How many?
But two chains.
Oh, gee.
I never call you 2 Chainz.
That's the best introduction.
I only refer to you as Titty 2 Necklace.
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. That's the best introduction I ever had. I appreciate
that. Most definitely. Oh, the best introduction he ever had. Yeah. Gotta say it 2 times. Yes, sir. OG in the house.
Man, we fuck with you the real way up here at the 85 South Show, man.
Slow man, y'all did a good job on the BET Award.
Appreciate that, OG.
Look like big things on the way. Y'all already were doing big things, but you know, look like
the trajectory there. You know what I'm saying? Get some
bank rolls and some appearances. So keep doing that. Y'all know y'all got the personality though. For all three of y'all to be, you know, hilarious, but not sane.
Right.
Like, for real, that's hard.
Appreciate that.
Ain't nobody doing that, though. Yeah. Like, if you think about it, like, how y'all kicking it, how y'all moving, with adding something different to the game, flair, you know, so I'm a whole R&B nigga on the low.
You did.
Yeah, boy, this nigga, shit, oh, y'all got some shit going on. It gon' Detroit me. Shit gon' pop.
Man, we appreciate
that. Appreciate
y'all.
That,
shit
man.
Pop.
Like, what? Nigga, that mean a lot coming from you, man, because you one of the most legendary in the game, man, for just the way that you did it. Like, a lot of people don't know that, you know, you came in the game with a team, and you wasn't a superstar at the time, and you waited and did what you had to do and waited your turn, and then when it came your turn, you took off, man. Like, so right. Like, what's that process like, you know, when you come in the game and you get to see everything? Does that change your perspective and how to move when you get to see somebody like Luda be a superstar? Does it, you know, teach you all the things you need to avoid in the game?
Yeah, I look at it as two ways when I explain being around somebody who is successful. You could be inspired by it, or you can hate on it, you know what I'm saying? So when I first got in the game early, just like many people today, I was happy to get a record deal. You know, I was happy to be getting off the streets, you know? Like, a lot of people find God at different times. You find God, somebody die. You find God when you about to die. You find God when you go to jail. So I had instances where I just became a very spiritual person because I had went through some ill things, you know what I'm saying? So I was looking at this like God trying to pull me out of this situation, you know what I'm saying? So getting with Luda, signing with them, like I ain't have no bank account when I signed with him. Like he got my first ever bank account. I'm still doing shoe boxes and all of that, you know what I mean? So when it was time to go through the business process, I had never been in a bank before, you know what I mean? So I can't sit here now that I'm successful and downplay what I learned through that process because it helped me be the person, you know what I'm saying? I ain't never bitter about it. I just always had some type of star quality that I personally felt inside, you know what I'm saying? Since I was probably a freshman in high school, I felt like I had some type of glare that I just attracted people because I was just a cool nigga. You know what I'm saying? I did cool shit. My mom, the whole neighborhood called my mama mama. You know, that was my mama.
Yeah,
so, you know,
I'm her son.
So, you know, like, you know what that is. You know what I'm saying? Nigga sold crack in my, even when I went to college, nigga was selling crack in my yard. Just like really violating in that sense to where I had to put in rules and parameters. But a lot of these people still my friends to the day. Like a lot of people that may, y'all may see me around, they're not industry people or nothing like that. They're just regular, ordinary people with families that I'm still cool with and I hang out with. So the whole Luda thing was a good experience for me, you know what I'm saying? Watching him do shows live, you know what I'm saying? Like he does TV tracks. He never like raps over his words, which is something that I took from going through that, you know, university or whatever.
What you mean rapping over your words?
You know what, I do TV tracks. There's two ways to perform. You can actually
rap over your words. Okay, big.
Or you can go out there and remember an hour worth of material and give fans a different experience where it's a live performance.
That's what the fuck I be doing. And shit.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with either one. It's just things I'm telling you I learned from being around Luda,
right.
Wayne,
right.
Yeah, a few other people. It's like a showmanship style of entertainment where some people literally lip sync. They got the most jeer, got the most everything. They literally go up there and they can match play and whatever. But that's just, it's some things that I learned that I kept with me through the whole process.
Right.
Just to sum up that experience, just to be a better artist. So it really like, I had to just take it at that. You either inspired by it or you hate on another man's success. I'm like, okay, this is what really happened. This on God.
Talk your shit.
This is really what happened. One day, you know, like I'm the weed man in Atlanta. I'm like, I'm having the gas
good.
First.
Make a pre-sum.
Okay, get your
Yeah.
This shit finna get good.
Nah.
Got on too many damn chains. Don't fall in the camera. They gonna catch you.
That'd be a classic right there. Preferred.
How about that? Cool.
Adjust the cord.
There you go.
I thought you're making shit.
That shit finna get good.
This nigga stupid. All right, so at this particular time, I don't even know what I was gonna brush on, but once upon a time, I was the weed man in Atlanta, as far as like having strong, and this was early on, like
This is even when Luda was like working on the radio station and like that. So I served a lot of rappers before they knew I rap, you know what I'm saying? So I wasn't a nigga, you know, like you see a nigga, you be like, here go my tape and all that. That was never my thing. Like right. I kept it straight because I knew who was really doing their thing, and I knew who was just really capping. So for a long time, that was like my introduction into the game, and that's how I even started to like build relationships with artists and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So one day I looked at my phone, and I ain't even never Googled nobody work, but I had like Stunner number, Puff number, Wayne number. I know all these niggas millionaires.
Right.
I know these niggas got some million.
Right.
How come I can't get no million? Now, this ain't nothing. Now, I can get, now, loot, I got, I literally counted in my phone how many niggas I knew had some M's that I knew.
Right.
Like, I'm talking, I'm texting, you know what I'm saying, on a regular basis, but I'm not having no right. M's, though.
That don't mean they buying that. They ain't buying shit. They just your
popping. No, no, they habits, whether yeah. they want a lot of weed or a little weed, that's their thing. I know they having. If they ain't having M's, they hoodwinking me.
Right.
They making me want whatever. Basically, once again, I was inspired by right. that. So I woke up one day, I was just wanting my own shit. Mm-hmm. I told them that I wanted to be solo, I wanted to be by myself. And now we're here.
And that was it.
That's it.
Locked and loaded.
That's it right
that
there.
That was a true ass story.
Nigga.
That shit felt real. I was like, yeah, boy, what?
But see, that motivation is something that, you know, people need to understand is real, because you know a lot of people think you just gonna get up and be successful right. and not know that journey that it take to get to this point that you at, you know?
Yeah, because you gotta highlight the one thing you said though. You can't do that shit hating on the motherfucker.
That was right. just finna say. Like,
you can't be no hating ass nigga and get nowhere in life.
Right.
Oh, yeah, that was okay. the biggest. Let me explain. Let me explain to you my hating theory.
Talk your shit.
The niggas hold their nuts on you, right?
Right.
So you think about it, when you hold your nuts on somebody, you holding yourself down. The other person, they not worried about you holding their nuts on them. They keep rising. The more you hold your nuts, the more you stay stagnant. And the person that you're hating on, believe it or not, we sleep real good at night. You know what I'm saying? So just
that again.
Just so like, that's how I describe hating. I'm like, nigga holding their nuts, you know what I'm saying? But them niggas running in place. Niggas right. on treadmills too, so. What I'm trying to tell you is, if you can get past whatever hate in your heart, get past whatever that you can't get over,
right?
I think things are flourish for everybody. Relationships can build.
Most definitely. Intentions got to be right.
Right. Coming from a nigga who get a bunch of hate, I feel you, my nigga.
What they be hating on you?
Boy, you ain't seen the comments on the Fabo video? God.
No, they was taking up for you, nigga.
No, but
they was like, boy, you got me fucked up, Chico.
Listen.
Ain't he gonna cap? Ain't he gonna cap? 85% came through for you.
Listen.
They was jumping. Hey, Shane. They was jumping Fabo ass. They was like,
right. Wait to see Fabo.
Fabo came through. Salute to Fabo, man. That's the nigga, you know what I'm saying?
They was on his ass.
But they was on his ass, because you know, we know each other. So, you know what I'm saying? And then the thing about this platform is it's not about us. It's about making the guest comfortable. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted him to be comfortable in what he, you know,
and
what
he mean? Was.
And he was, very he much was. So. And he was very comfortable. And that was, but people took it as like he was coming at me sideways and all this type of wild shit. It was just some hood shit. We was had one of the funnest times I ever had. But and I appreciate the love in the 85 comments, all the 85%ers, because you know what I mean. I used to get
I read about 1,000.
Oh
comments.
Yeah, nigga.
Nigga got me fucked up
all the way, bro. It was crazy, but the haters was still in there, and I get the crazy hair. I remember one time a nigga in the comments said, y'all need to get rid of Chico and bring Sheriff LeBlanc. I was like, God damn.
Bring who?
Nigga tried the sheriff, nigga. Nigga said I need to get rid of
LeBat.
LeBat, my bad.
LeBat?
LeBat.
He won too, LeBat.
Yeah, LeBat, right. So, but, you know, for me, it's like, I understand that totally, coming from a nigga that done been, you know, getting that type of experience my whole life. I done always been a live nigga, so I know what come with that. So right. just the internet, and what come with the internet, people typing on the internet, nowadays, that's a different type of energy that you gotta navigate. So how do you navigate?
Look, this is what I was gonna say, though, for all the people watching, bro, like you were speaking on, though, Chains. They can only get so much of a perception by watching anything. Like, don't never think for one second
that Chico would let a nigga sit there and talk shit, talk to him crazy, man, or disrespect. That's what I'm saying.
We don't need to clear up.
We ain't gonna need we clear up one of them to get world star.
Right. Don't never get it fucked up. He would never just sit there and let a nigga talk crazy.
We ain't even let love. See, and salute the favor. Right. We about the nigga to start an R&B group.
We talking about hood love, hood talk. Y'all don't understand that.
They don't get
it
every time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, how that shit be.
But you know, how do you navigate that though? Because you at a level of stardom that a lot of people couldn't even imagine. So how do you deal with the negativity whenever you get to see it? I know you probably miss a lot of it, but
even your ass crazy here too.
It doesn't.
Fuck them niggas, man.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That's the
thing. That's it. That's all you see. What you see, man? I don't even see that shit, man. You did.
Some stuff I'm not even.
You ain't gotta mention, you just over address it. Like, you know.
No, I'm
third part.
So let me tell you something. At the point I am in my life, right? I don't see me doing nothing to throw it away. Man. And let me tell you something now. Black man pride is a motherfucker,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Black man pride be having a couple different outcomes.
Right.
They don't be the best. You know, I've been living long enough to remember when niggas would shoot you by stepping on some shoes.
Right.
Now imagine a nigga that shot somebody by stepping on some shoes, how they with their mentality. I even just fast forwarded to past starter jackets. Let's go to Jordan.
Right.
Stealing Jordans.
Right.
Whoever got killed for Jordans, that was senseless. Whoever did it was senseless. Now, I don't want to act like I've been rich all my life. I done tried to take a starter. I done tried to take something from somebody before.
Right.
You know? But I think in this day and age, when it's like the era of supposed to be OGs, you know what I'm saying? A nigga just gotta show different restraint, you know what I'm saying? Like, my whole thing is like trying to get back home. I think people may take that for granted, you know what I'm saying? Like, leaving and coming
back home, right?
You can't, like, can't be taking that for granted, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'll be thinking too much.
No, you both too.
You know what I'm saying? I'll be thinking. Just be thinking, you know what I'm saying? Like, and just anything can happen, my nigga. Just however you left us, whatever, right now, however your spot look right now. You know what I'm saying? You left it, like, whatever. So, but shit like that make sure, but the shit like that make me try to straighten up. But this little shit, I just be trying to be on my shit, not to think that nothing bad will happen to me, but just the energy I'm just trying to, I guess, spread is like, it's a time and a place to be gangster.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't gonna never tell nobody not to hold their gangster down. Like, you know what I'm saying? And the disrespect is really like, nigga can't tolerate it, but at the same time, nigga can't do no, go down the road.
Right, no dumbass shit, man. Tripping.
And then what you said about making it back home, I think a lot of the reason why especially us don't have that energy is because niggas don't come from nothing. You know what I mean? So they ain't got nothing to really go back to be proud of. So they can give a fuck about making it back.
That's true.
Don't have nothing to really look forward to or look
that's
into,
true.
You know, to give them energy to want to be, you know, smart or on their square. So
and
I
that's
think,
important,
you know, you
too.
You got to build something. You know, that's the test. You got to build something that's worth having. And that's your responsibility out here. You know what I mean? Nobody going to give you shit, but the more you build that's worth something, the more energy you'll have to keep yourself on your square, like change, you see.
I think it's important, too, that I don't get too far away from it because I am. But you know what I'm saying? I got to understand if a nigga ain't eating and ain't got no job, what that's like, too. Right. You know what I'm saying? You don't be wanting to come from a place to where a nigga don't understand another person's pain. So
right.
I got to still, like,
be in that mindset.
Yeah,
like,
man. Don't just be like, man, that was a crazy decision. Like, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to judge nobody on that. Like, you know, I just be wanting to, like,
make sure you straight at all times.
I just be wanting to try to move like a player.
Move like the
be
president.
Real transparent, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, nigga, love is family. Nigga love the music, shit, you know what I'm saying? Nigga love life. Nigga straight, man. Nigga on piece of a basketball team. Nigga got.
You on piece of a basketball team? They go, can't talk over that. Like that shit just normal now.
All people knew.
No, ain't no people, no people. Which one?
College Park Skyhawks.
Well, I want to put a little something down on the hall too.
I'm going to be performing at the Gateway Arena this Saturday, and that's where the team plays at.
Well,
we had a season until COVID hit, you know what I'm saying, started. But I'm a partner in that with the owner of the Hawks.
That's one of them where they work out and get the shit right.
On some real shit, you got to just put just one Atlanta-ass nigga on the team, whether he can hoop or not, just so he could talk shit loud. I'll fuck that shot and run that play.
He going to be the motivation.
I ain't fucking with Cotton Paul, bro. On some real shit. These niggas balling, but they ain't hooping. We hoop. Fuck these pussy-ass niggas.
Come outside.
Fuck ass team, nigga. We ain't lost, nigga. Head time, nigga. See me in the fourth, nigga. When you going to play? Out. I ain't, nigga. You ain't playing neither. Yeah. Oh, weak-ass nigga. He got to be on the team every season.
Yeah. He the motivation.
Yes.
That's a real Atlanta nigga in high school, too. They keep a nigga like that on the team in high school.
Man. Nigga at the end of the bench. And fuck nigga, what? What? Fuck that game,
he lied to hell.
Nigga got 40 on the ass. He still talking.
He lied.
What nigga? That nigga didn't get kicked off the team for whooping the coach ass. Like,
damn.
He whooped the coach ass.
And he old
ain't
too.
He didn't go to school no more. Hey, at what point in your rap career did you have to tell these niggas, look, I ain't the weed man no more?
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation, I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's gonna catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Y'all got me fucked up. Stop calling me.
Niggas will call. Hey, bro. Hey, shit. I see you on BET. Hey, pull up on me, nigga. I'm not at that point in my life. Oh, okay. I'm wasting your time. Oh, okay. I didn't know if the shit was live or pre-recorded or what.
Oh, man. Yeah. Life is good.
I got a fun ass story, nigga. I'll never forget, nigga. I was listening to your True album, right? That shit was crazy. I was in a Ford Crown Vic that I bought from a nigga for $200. I'm gonna tell you why I bought it from him for $200. Because a nigga ain't had no title, but I wasn't tripping. I was like, fuck a title. Yeah, I'm in this bitch.
Bought a stolen
car. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, nigga, I didn't know though. Yeah, I'm in the car, right, nigga? I see 12 sitting in the middle of the goddamn. I'm on Marlon King, they about to run past Cascade in the library. So they sit right there in the middle of the car. I see him. I'm like, fuck, I got your shit playing loud here. All I want for my birthday is a big boot. It's about 2 o'clock. Nigga, I got a potato skinny hair. Nigga, I got a pistol on me. Weed, but I ain't tripping. Because
right.
I got insurance on a stolen car.
Right.
And I know the tag good. That's what I know. That's what the nigga told me. Nigga, I go pad the police, nigga. All I want for, I hit that bitch. Get her face, it's a big booty hoe. Whoop. I'm like, damn, it's a big booty hoe. I'm like, fuck, I got your shit blast like a motherfucker. Nigga, anywho, the nigga who I bought the car from was wanted. And they thought it was me. Oh, I got locked up, bro. Because I had weed and motion in the car. Dang, but just know before
that
I got
ain't
locked up.
That's funny, that nigga. That's sad.
I beat that, but the most energetic part, I would listen to my nigga shit.
Yeah.
Before I got locked up, you hear me? Yes, sir.
Got a whole charge on this record.
And the CD was still in the car when I got my shit back.
That's what used to be hard about getting shit at the impound.
What?
You like, damn.
That's all I care about, my CD. I said, man, I hope they take my motherfucking album,
you definitely a real loud nigga if you done had a car impound. And when it got, if you a London nigga, if you done had an impound and left it, and you a real London nigga if you done had an impound and picked it up.
Yes, sir.
A lot of nigga done left one in there. Boy, where your car at? Boy, them folks told me shit.
Go get it.
Boy, nigga, just, that's the ink, period.
That's it. That's when a nigga big boy told flex, like, man, fuck that car. I ain't going to get that shit, what? I'm finna get me bought shit. The nigga already said he finna sell it to me for $900. I ain't fucking with that goddamn car. That bitch ain't have no oil in it. The transmission was slipped. Fuck that car, man. That nigga had that pussy ass car, nigga. You don't want your music out there, bitch? Nah, fuck it. Fuck everything. I'm finna jump brand new big boys.
I had to get my car.
To get my CD book out, anything back in the day. Fuck that.
I feel like every hood nigga done bought a car from their homeboy who buy cars from the auction.
Yeah. That's true too.
I remember a nigga had a nice ass Cadillac, got out the car. He was trying to sell that bitch fast there. He was like, come on, somebody, come on, man, let me shit going for like 25 home. Nigga, I'm finna go get it. They be like, no, you don't want that. I'm like, why? He like, nigga, you don't want that one. I was like, well, it be nice as hell. He said it for 25. Y'all tripping. Y'all better buy that shit. Mm-hmm. I was stupid.
Hey, man. I remember.
I was about anything from a nigga. Yeah, let me get that up out your
head. My first two chains, man, you know, your DJ E-Sud, that's okay. my partner.
That's the OG right there.
Together, you know what I'm saying? And when he first started working with you, you know what I mean? We used to link up and shit, and he played that I'm Riding Around, I'm Getting It For Me. And okay. We used to do these shows every third Sunday of the month in North Carolina. And I was like, man, sub, man, let me come out to that shit, man. He was like, yeah, bet. So I played that shit. Nobody had ever heard it. I'm Riding Around and I'm Getting It. Nigga like, who the fuck is this? I'm like, nigga, fuck that. Listen to it. I ain't smoking on exotic.
Yeah.
My girl ain't got no stomach. I was like, cut it off. I'm like, this nigga fucking with alien hoes, nigga. This bitch ain't got no stomach. And it just playing the whole song, man, like that style. That's what made you so unique to me. I never heard nobody rap like that. And I'm a big music connoisseur. So just rap style is big to me when you hear a nigga put them words together like ain't nobody put them together before. So what made you develop that style? Like I remember on Twitter, nigga, I used to do a hashtag with 2 Chainz would say, nigga. That's and just make up all types of rhymes, definitely. Nigga. You know what I'm saying?
What would 2 Chainz say?
Oh, nigga, I got, hold up, man. You gonna let me
hear it? You got a whole bunch on.
Man, I say them bitches boy, from like 2012, bro.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pull it motherfuckers
up. He said 2012, boy.
Hell yeah. Eight years ago. Nigga, here we go. Diamond Ring, Frozen Hand, Frosty, The Frozen Man, Lin Quay, that's a Frozen Clan, Concert in the Winter, that's a Frozen Fan.
Hey!
Hey, hold up. Yeah. I got another one. I fucked your girl, chest to chest.
In school, I was dressed the best. If you want to release some stress, make 20 FFCS. I promoted my show with this shit. Nigga, that's what I'm saying. Like, so when did you, how did you develop that? Was that just natural?
I think you got to be high. Because he do be, it's
do. Nigga, that play this Adam Family shit. What the hell wrong with you, man?
It's the weed, Chico. He was the weed man. He was sitting there just thinking how, like, inside, outside. Outside, inside.
No, I bet people think I would say something that simple. Actually, people don't get some of my bars to after they've heard it a few times.
Nigga, it's like, that's the truest shit ever.
I got it the first time. That shit is an incredible style.
The
like
triple entendre.
And it's hard to do, you know what I mean?
The triple entendre. I definitely do that.
Triple entendre. How did you develop that? Like, was that?
I just don't say the first thing that come to my mind because I feel like somebody else may have that same thought. Oh, I think about everything, bro.
My nigga.
I overly think about it. I don't write anything, but I think about everything because I don't have a line where you're going to know what I'm going to say next.
Right.
That I don't have those lines. Even the big boot, my simplest line, I call her fucking big booty because of, you know, big booty. I think my most simplest line, but the reason it caught was because in Atlanta, you got light skinned Keisha, mm-hmm. you know, you got big booty Tanya, you got, we describe girls by, you know, yeah, you know,
my name
black. So when I said that, even when doing the song with Ye back then, I was explaining to him, like, nah, we literally would call her whatever the trait she got. You know what I'm saying? That's some Atlanta shit, just trying to. So, but, you know, don't play with him. I like to get down with the best on when it comes to that rap shit now.
Yeah.
I just have put up enough music to, because I'm also, sometimes I'm data-driven, so I know what the fans want from me. You know what I'm saying? I don't deviate. Which I should. I've been in the game long enough to just do the fuck I want to do. But sometimes I'd be like, when I do a song, I'd be like, they gonna love this shit. I already know that they gonna love it. You know what I'm saying? Boom, boom. Then I got some songs I'd be like, maybe it's too personal, or maybe it's too, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I'll put out enough material, and that's what I tell any artist. Once you put out enough material, you'll start seeing what the people like from you, and you just. You know what I'm saying? You make that, you work on that, make it better. Like, believe it or not, I'd be like, man, I like melodies, but I'm not known for that. That shit is like something that other people do and they do it well. I know what I do real well too. So even though I may sit in the studio, I may do a couple, I may use one, but because it's like sports, I might work on my weakness,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Just so I won't be
caught sleeping.
Right, or won't be someone that's just, you know how you just like, you know how you, like, we know it's a new frontier of like rappers, like Lil Baby, one of my favorite, just like for so many reasons. Young boys, a few people, I just really like how they coming, you know what I'm saying? They young, they witty, you know what I'm saying? They got that energy, you know what I'm saying? So I can't act like I don't.
You don't hit it.
Yeah,
right,
you know,
right.
This just crazy.
And you know this was popping. If you finna be out here, you got to be mingling with the
you
shit.
You not being a hater. You know
right.
what I'm saying?
A lot of niggas be haters, and they don't like the
young energy, and they don't like that it's shifting. But if you're not a hater, you can.
It's not for everybody. All the stuff not for everybody, but you just got to know, like, if you're going to be, as a fan, it's different. But if you're actually in the assimilation and you just in the grid, like, I think you should, like, be conscious. I mean, I really used to not listen to nobody. That was the thing about me. My first maybe two albums, I was in a super bubble to the point where I was meeting people that were super fans of me, and I would just have somebody close to me be like, bro, this is, you know, I didn't watch reality TV, you know. So, like, at first, I was just in a super bubble. Whenever music started coming out on, because it used to come out on Tuesdays, right?
Yep,
and then it started coming out on Fridays. I think when it started coming out on maybe Fridays, I started like really just giving people at least one listen. And if I liked it, I would listen to it twice. But one thing about listening to other people as an artist, you can unconsciously pick up things from them. as you can see with the music industry today, everybody sounds like
somebody.
Young Thug and all them,
yeah. Yeah, so it's really because they have jamming music, but as an artist, I can't just ride around and listen to it all day because you'll end up picking it up. You know, so as a fan, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to run into the ground. But as a creative, I can't play somebody's stuff every day, all day, or it'll just mess with my creativity. I won't be true to myself. You know what I'm saying? When I get a plaque, I can look in my mirror and say, man, that's your idea, my nigga.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Them folks bought, I'm different. 4 or 5 million times. That was your idea, my nigga. It's a vibe. Even though these are regular sayings, man, them folks, birthday song, them folks, millions of people bought your shit. Yo, them, I ain't like unconsciously ripped that from another nigga tape that ain't, you know what I'm saying? I ain't do that. That's why I can just move how I move. Ain't nobody slide me that.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm saying that shit, me still to this day.
Right.
And bitches still coming in. Them bitches gonna keep coming. Bitches coming in.
Yeah.
Bitches gonna keep coming in. So, I ain't saying nothing wrong with no help, but the reason that I can confidently say that I'm still existing in the game because I still got ideas that people are buying to.
And that's the dope shit. Your music hit different, man. I like to play that shit when I'm getting paid. You gotta.
You gotta get some money.
Man, it's like when you got the money.
It feel better.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like you were saying, the lyrics hit different. You said that, like, the big booty line, one of the simplest lines. That shit makes so much sense. Mm-hmm. I call her big booty because she got a big booty.
Yeah. But when you really with a bitch, you got a big booty.
You don't know her name, though. But no.
Booty. You don't know her name, you got a big booty.
Especially from a strip club.
One of my favorite songs is, I told that bitch, you motherfucking right. Because that's a turning point in a nigga life. It's very rare that you agree. See, a lot of niggas, when you tell a bitch you motherfucking right, you agreeing. That ain't a disagreeing statement.
Uh-huh.
I told a bitch you motherfucking right.
And it don't matter what she said.
She ain't had to say nothing positive. You could just be so cool at what you got going on. Fuck you, you ain't shit. You motherfucking right, bitch. I ain't shit.
I ain't gonna never be shit,
hope. It's variations of that hit different.
Yeah, they got a plaque, too.
Yeah.
Which one?
That. Woo. Probably whatever y'all name, be real with you.
That's why we can just talk about all that shit freely. Welcome back to the 85,000 show. You're sitting at home with no necklace. Pause this shit and go put 2 chains on. Do that for us from here. You got to watch the rest of this with 2 chains on.
Motherfucking right.
Motherfucking right.
This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. My name is Carlos Miller. Blue Chew. .com. Trust me. At this point, you already know. It's people asking me, man, what that Blue Chew do? Blue Chew brings you the first chewable with the same FDA-approved active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. And it's a sexual stimulant. Now, it's not going to cure any ailments or anything like that. But it will have you making sweet, sweet love to your lady.
BlueChew.com.
If you can benefit from more confidence where it counts, Blue Chew is the fastest and easiest way to enhance your performance. These pills are amazing. Go check them out at BlueChew.com. If you could use a confidence boost or you just want to feel like your old self again, trust your mans. Use the promo code. It's only $5, man. You can try it for $5. Go online, BlueChew.com. You can go right on your phone. That's Blue, BLUE. ChewCHEW.com. Hey man, make sure you hit that website and use their promo code. I just want you to see what all the hype is about. You get what I'm saying? Trust me on this. Use the promo code, get your first shipment for free. 85 South. I put that on everything. Times is hard out here. You hear me? Do you have a favorite song that you... Do you have like a song of yours that's your favorite song that you made?
Yeah, I got this song on my second album that then a lot of people I don't think maybe listen to because it's one of them songs that's my personal favorite. You know what I'm saying? Okay, I got a couple favorites. Got One that Mike Will did. I got one. That was one of my favorites just because of the energy. But I did this song called Black Unicorn with Chrisette Michelle on my second album that actually Serena Williams used for a Beats commercial.
Hey.
And like when you hear it, you'll think like the song is about her or whatever, but it was on my album. It was like, and I did it for Beats. I performed it a couple times, but it's one of them songs that I get to get my shit off on. And then on my newest project that dropped Friday, So Help Me God, I got this joint called Vampire on there, produced by Kool and Dre. And that's one of my favorite up-to-date joints that I've done recently. Like, I can hear that a lot of times. With my music, I like to, like, especially if I know it's a hit, I don't listen to it a lot of times. I try to work on another. You can get caught up in my mind. I think time is of essence. So you can just, like, be, like, on your dick too much. Like, this is how I look at it, right? This is a hit song. Boom. The sand start, like, it's not going to be a hit song forever, right?
Right.
So our niggas be like gloating about this little hit song. If they don't have another hit song, then eventually this shit runs out. And that's why I like DaBaby too, because he don't be playing.
He come at him.
As soon as he thank y'all and he don't be playing, he come with a note. So I like that. And, you know, that's a good way to see, like, work ethic too. Like, I fuck with that energy too. So.
You know what I'm a fan of, man? One of my favorite songs, man. Player Circle with Lil Wayne, man. Phone do nothing, number five. Chop down dead like the clock golden wall. Like, go and get you. If you, listen, man. First of all, that's like a hood nigga anthem.
It's very much.
We ain't got too many, but we definitely got some. Yeah. And I promise you, for a fizzy, that's definitely one of them. You dig what I'm saying? So, but how was that the first time they had your partner on the track with Lil Wayne, one of the best rappers alive? And plus, you got your own personal relationship with Wayne. You feel me? So it's like, how do you know, first off, you coming from the streets, nigga, and you got one with Weezy. You know half of these niggas can't get Wayne on the track.
Nah, especially at that time. I'm gonna say that. Wayne, yeah, that's my man, you know? That's my man. Let me see, did he know? Yeah, he knew I was rapping by then.
So at first, Wayne, so I met Baby first.
Right.
I met Stunner first. I met Stunner at Patchwork one day. I was trapping and using my money for studio time because I thought to show God I'm serious about my
your craft.
What I'm doing is I'm actually investing my money. This is my thought pattern. So I'm still serving and making jugs, and they was like, somebody wants some weed in the big room. I was in the small room. And also, I wanted to be around people. I wanted to just like see if I could bump into somebody on some shit. So come to find out, like, it was a bunch of New Orleans niggas right there, and they needed some weed, you know what I'm saying? So I met Stoner. I had, this is a long time ago too, and I had, you know, whatever that situation was. And then, like, I stayed back there with him, you know what I'm saying? The energy was good, jokes, you know what I'm saying? Smoking, and then he offered me to ride back to New Orleans with him. And at this time, I'm just like out here on some when we leaving type shit.
Fucking you know Tim,
man. And I go to New Orleans.
This is before Katrina hit, you know what I'm saying? This nigga got like a neighborhood full of mansions. It's like a mansion for the homies. It's like, Tune got a mansion. Everybody got mansions. So I go to the mansion. It's for the niggas and shit, you know what I'm saying? Niggas took a nigga in. I'm fucking with niggas. But I take some weed with me, you know what I'm saying? Just because that's how I was moving. And this around the time, them zips was like 400, 450, you know what I'm saying? And Stunner know, like, I had like, gave that nigga like a zip or two. And I guess you thought I had just not ask for one.
Jeez, that little thought wild.
I was like, boy, I was kind of like not leaving New Orleans for like, I had got my little 800 or something. He like, Slim, you know, because he really fucking with me because his brother named Slim. He called me Slim, like, you tall? Like, so he fucking with my, you know what I'm saying, my pimping and everything, but I was like, what did he put these zips? You know?
He said,
what
did he got these zips?
I'm like, you know, like, bro, you know, but, you know, he did, and then eventually, like, I met Tune, and then that happened. Our relationship built off that kind of campaign.
He was like, I ain't got the money, but you can meet my son.
No. He took care of it. Then I met Wayne. Then we smoked strong. And then he was like, okay, that's what y'all doing. We just became homies. And then that song happened. He did that song back when he was popping. He did Duffel Bag for free. him, he, Baby was getting like 100, probably he was getting like 100, so it probably was the $200,000 discount, you know what I'm saying? We shot it on Gobby Road, kept your G, you know what I'm saying? Pulled up. That's why I was like, he was a good, real nigga, because he didn't have to do it. He was so hot at the time.
Right.
And then, you know, my verse was so good, I must say so myself, that people thought he wrote it.
Right.
So he went on tour the first night he went on tour.
You went
he performed my verse in Florida the night the tour started in Miami. So I spoke with him, and he told me if I don't come on tour, he was going to do it. And I was there the next day looking like,
because
I'm about to do my verse. Because, like, after the hook, you just couldn't stop. You had to be like, the beat's so hot. So he was like, I had to run that bitch.
What? You got me crazy.
So that shit kind of helped him. You know what I'm saying? It changed my whole... Shit, man, my family struggled. The first meeting in my family, I broke a generational curse.
Yeah,
like, man, I fucked with the nigga, man.
Yeah.
The nigga need to hear that real deal shit, man.
I get
you
so much
what
money, it's my ID.
Don't try me. Fuck you mean, boy? You don't get no money that song, but you ain't get no money. I'm telling you.
Man, so you was plugged in back then. Like you said, you had relationships with all these dudes who were successful. And then you kind of, you know, fell into it. So when you came in and started to, when you started to blow up, like, did you realize it was happening, or did it, like, just, you kind of just looked up one day and was 2 Chainz?
No, so like I can see y'all what's going on with y'all, mm-hmm. but you can't. Like, that's how it was with me. But people was telling me,
mm-hmm.
like, different artists were telling me, like, bro, you, I remember when I was on Old National in the trap rapping, man, I got a phone call every day from a different celebrity for no bullshit, nigga, about 3 weeks straight, nigga. From, I ain't saying no, from the lowest nigga to damn near when Ye started calling, nigga. I'm just sitting back there getting called to the point where I would tell nigga, like, damn, man, such and such they called me, bro. I don't know how they, like, for real, like, yeah, bro, I got niggas, like, nigga told me they fuck, I'm like, oh, like, then some niggas come, like, damn, shaw, that was such and such, y'all, like, damn, mm-hmm. And then they start being like, that shit, bro. Like, I walk out the room like, damn, what the hell going on? Like,
right.
Like, it started getting serious, and then, but you know, like, you know, the feeling and the paper, it wasn't like the same, you know what I mean? So, but it was just coming in, man. When I got my deal, I had so much leverage that that's how I knew I was popular. When I got my deal, I didn't have to go for no 360 deal. I'm saying, I signed 4 albums. That's why I keep having one more album to go, because I keep re-signing for another album on some LeBron shit.
Yeah.
Mm. Album for some meals. Let's just keep it. Let's just be clean. Let's just come clean, transparent. I'm going to do my job. Make sure I'm straight. Other than that, I can get out here and do the hustle and the bustle.
Right.
Shit makes so much sense.
The chain's going crazy. They just hit it. Clink, clink. Clink, clink. Play some of that music, J-O-N. It's the Addams Family.
That boy going crazy, man. Dropping so much game. I hope you pick something up.
Oh, hi. I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite in powerful conversations. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
I want you all to join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. In every episode, we gather a seasoned elder.
But even with a child, there's no such thing as the wrong thing if you love them.
Myself, as the middle generation.
I don't feel like I have to get married at this big age in life, but it is a desire I have and something that I've navigated in dating. And a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations.
I'm very jealous of your generation that didn't have to deal with Instagram and Tinder.
This is Across Generations, where Black women's voices unite, and together, you know how we do, we create magic. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Step on that man Yeezys, man.
These the most comfortable shoes I ever
wore. I was about to ask about them. Them the Futuramas right there, man.
People can talk about them. I mean, first of all, you know, I don't care, but like, you look like a shoe, nigga. Just touch that, honestly.
These the motherfucking camp counselors right here, like the head camp counselor.
Just touch them. It's comfortable, my nigga.
Goddamn, you just got out of surgery.
Welcome to Camp True University.
Man, you stun your ass, though.
Bullshit. You got your own shit, though.
So this was like for a year, a situation with Chain Reaction. It did a lot for me internationally for some fashion shit. I was already dibbling and dabbling in the e-commerce with fashion. This actual one is the Pretty Girl, like trap music. One that didn't come out on time, but it still got the pink. Shoes take like a year. Once you come up with color waves and ideas, they take like a whole year to produce. So this one, and then there's some black ones that got like a gold chain on them that I helped design too, that a lot of people didn't get, but a lot of like rappers and artists, they obviously have. I had my actual thumbprint in. The bottom got the chains on them.
Oh, this bottom right here?
Yeah. I've been to a lot of places. Like going to Milan and being involved in the fashion shows and like Donatella and just having a cool rapport with her. And just, you know, I know that sounds bullshit, but it is.
That's how I felt in their bad knees. Because I went to the launch and they was like, the shoes aren't available yet.
I
was in there and then the white lady was like,
you're going to buy the shoes. Do you have your size? I was like, yeah, they right there. I'm about to do that. You know what I'm saying? So what you do? She was like, I'm the head of something very important.
Is that something you always want to do? Like, you know what I mean? Have your own shoe?
Think all of us do, bro.
I want mine.
Doing it with any brand, but then you doing it with a luxury brand was like...
Right. It's like, oh, yeah.
New shit. Like, people were doing it, but they weren't doing it. Especially, like, people look like me.
Right.
That was a good phase. That's a dope thing that's in my portfolio. And something, like, I be using these experiences, man, big picture.
Yeah.
So, you know.
I got a real question.
What's up, brother?
Now, we all know from Player Circle, Tita Boy. But when you switched it to 2 Chainz, was that more business? You see what I'm saying? That was a business route?
Yeah, Titty Boy is a name. My mom called me, you know, Tit. My daddy, rest in peace, called me Titty Man. My family called me that. I'm an only child, and me and my mother have a real close relationship. So it's more
of like, you know, like a
being
spoiled only child, like Brad, like a titty baby, you know what I'm saying? Be close upon her. And that was something that the neighborhood started hearing my mama call me, and then it just started, people calling me, used to call me Tit. So when the music shit happened, I ain't have like no MC, nothing. It just like, when I first got on with Luda, I didn't have no, like I didn't have it well thought out to it. So I'm just thinking that the name that I've been getting called is just cool, like right. Titty Boy. But then people are like, I can't say this.
Right.
And I'm like, what's going on with these folks? And then they looking at me like I'm crazy. They all covering themselves. I'm like, you know.
They thought you was going to cover
titties. Yeah, they grab titties and shit. Like, ah, yeah, I thought so. You were the titty massacre.
Yeah, like on that, come in, just can't control myself.
No titty, no!
Yeah, like, yeah,
I didn't know titty was offensive.
That is hilarious.
Just
bro.
Saying titty?
Hey, yeah. Maybe titty. That's hilarious.
Like, especially, you know, you got to think, man, all of us, like, all of us judge a book. All of us do that shit. All of us judge a book by its cover.
Right.
All of us look for something wrong, and everybody, we see a girl bad, we be like, just be, she can't be this bad. Like, nigga be looking at her toes. Nigga be just like, boom.
Trying to find some.
So, same thing with an artist. You be like, an artist got to do, be pretty consistent for you to like him. Because the first, man, that nigga got that shit on. That shit, that nigga lame. You know, you just, niggas be just, the first instinct is hate. So, with me, it's like, Titty Boy? You know, like, that just, it just had a wall. That just was in front of me, you know what I'm saying? And by me just saying titty, two necklaces, and two chains just came organically.
Right, right, right.
On.
I was just gonna say, how was that like rebranding two chains, even though it was the same motherfucker?
Man, people ask me this all the time, man. It wasn't like an event, it wasn't like a day I came up with it. Man, I'm just rapping, saying shit. This shit started sticking. Like, I like this shit.
Two chains.
I started. Saying it, you know what I'm saying? And shit started sticking. Shit started sticking, man. And I was like, this is it, you know.
You know, this is it.
This is it.
This is gonna totally work for me.
Like, you're right.
Now
and it worked.
Don't have to be uncomfortable no
because
more.
Because oh I naturally wore thank jewelry
you.
Too.
Thank
yeah.
you, too, James. Just Titty Boy, I was so nervous.
Yeah, my current album cover is from the 8th grade, and I have one. Three necklaces yeah. to be for real with you. And so this is like, I ain't superimposing face ass.
Yeah, long head ass. Yeah. Yeah.
Long, that
he was happy to the motherfucker too.
And he's like, what was that? He got long ass head.
You ain't shit. You ain't shit, Carl. Carl, you ain't shit.
I had to get you.
You ain't shit, Carl. Woo. That was good.
That was good.
Hey man, you want to find niggas in the world.
Well, I love you, OG. You know what's happening.
God, that was good.
And he fucked up his good because he thought that too, but he said it.
Hey, no, he was like, man, you know
I,
what?
I know my
no,
shit so was this long.
I found that shit during quarantine. You know how nigga been cleaning up shit, right. Doing all type of shit.
Yeah, found
I
that
see
bitch.
That bitch, you know, that bitch approved. That bitch got stains on. I see that bitch, I say, that's damn, it. John. I remember when I growed my hair. You know what I'm saying? Like, well, my head was just.
That was when you was growing it.
I grew my hair probably a couple years after. I went through a couple phases.
Yeah,
you know, niggas
figure
started
it out.
Rocking the nappy. Niggas started doing everything. But I had kicked that little joint. That wasn't one of my best looks, but shit. I stand on. I did it.
The fuck you mean?
My hair always been able to grow. All my pigeons. My dad didn't cut my hair. I was like two or three. Like, so my son is 5. He ain't never had a haircut. Help.
For real.
This nigga dreads about to catch mine. So I'm like.
You got some
my daddy like- had. Ponytail before he died. My mama got long hair.
Yeah, y'all got
I remember one time my daddy cut my hair. I wanted to fight that nigga.
Yeah, I ain't know.
Swear to God, that nigga gave used to give me the worst haircut. It was like, and then it just be like, I had a random ass time. They were like, come here, I'm about to cut you.
He said, come here.
So I'm. He don't never show me the haircut the whole time he doing. I don't know why, but like,
how the fuck he cut your hair with
I'm about
hair,
to tell
man.
You.
No, I'm about to, he told that nigga come here. I'm about to cut you.
So look, man,
I don't see the haircut the whole time he doing the shit, bro. I don't know what the hell wrong with my daddy to this day. He used to always give me this fucked up ass Pee Wee Herman haircut where it'd be like bald with the little Gucci in the front. And he'd be like, boy, you in there now. Now you clean, son. I'd be like,
now you clean,
I'm not going
son.
Nowhere with this bullshit. Nigga leave just a little bit, it like this little, like the army shit with just
head, hair. Bro. That's why you bald.
Nigga
head,
had
bro.
The Gumby.
Nigga had never grown back.
That nigga
right?
had the Gumby. They to cut your head with no yeah. mirrors around is tough, nigga. He didn't know what he was gonna give you.
He looked around the whole.
He did that. He did that.
But that's hilarious.
Now he absolutely
bro.
Did that.
That nigga said, come here. What? I'm about to cut your head.
Come on. Y'all getting your hair cut tonight. For what? What
we do to you, bro?
Yo, I feel like practicing,
bro. Girl, who had you cut?
Hey. He cut yours?
Oh, nigga.
When we start this shit?
I used to cut my nephew head.
Why?
Why?
Just cause.
Just cause you could? You a dirty motherfucker.
I ain't clippers. I said I'm gonna choose you, bitch, on somebody. Hey, bro, I never
bought my nephew. That's fucked up.
My
man.
Nephew named Octavius Hart, bro.
Again, man.
I put an O and an H in his head.
Don't ever do that.
What?
His name Octavius Hart. I put an O on this side, and I put an H on this side.
That, that nigga had O in the back of his head.
Nah, it's fucked up, because if you look at it from the wrong side, it's a ho.
No, because it wasn't even an H, nigga. It was. I really fucked up. I had a football goal on that bit. All
right, man.
Y'all nigga. That's crazy, up. Man.
It's fucked up. Don't
ever. I didn't give him the full H. I said, hold up, this shit don't look like no H.
Everybody done had a fucked up haircut. I don't think I ever had a fucked up haircut. I tried to shake myself up one time and cut my whole eyebrow off.
How'd you slip?
Trying to shake myself up and cut my shit off, yeah. Nigga. I had to walk around with the half eyebrow, nigga. It was like, man, what the
but
fuck
you
did I do?
Stupid, bro.
But hey, now,
come
nigga,
here, I'm cut your head.
You know, I mean, I'm growing my shit out. Fuck the front, nigga. I'm just.
You see what your shit hit on?
It's yeah, nigga.
Okay.
It's growing.
Trying to do a little something. Long, you know they got your little, they got some castor oil that might get that motherfucker.
Nah, ain't no oil. They make
got them hairs
nigga.
Coming around about the grate.
Nah, I gotta get my shit anointed to grow back in the front. I don't even give a fuck though. Fuck it. Yeah, I never get to that, but I'm gonna go as close as I can. Nigga.
They got a process.
Nah, I'm scared of that, dog. You know, nigga.
It's
nigga
soft shit, right there. He can't fuck with this,
nah,
man.
Nigga. They be doing all type of shit. I looked at one on Google. They was like, yeah, they take hair off your ass and put it on your head. I'm like, nah, fuck the surgery.
Whoa, ass shit. Ass down the head.
That Chico tall nigga like you be like, man, that nigga Chico hair smell like ass. Like, I didn't want to tell him we was filming.
You can put your beard.
Oh,
you can put the beard.
Fuck this shit, bro. Because what if they fuck around and be fucking with your shit, and now you get a soft spot in your head like a baby.
No, because that's what that is. You can't
you
put nothing on top of
your hair every night before it. You go to bed because the top is sensitive.
That shit name. Tender.
Hell
fuck
nah.
Sensitive. That shit tender.
Your hairline come back, but you can't dream no more.
You got halfway dreams.
But you know, even if they bring your hairline back, the side effects gonna be some shit that ain't got nothing to do with the hairline. Like, look, you might start back pissing in the bed. That's for the first, that's for the first 3 weeks, this uncontrollable bladder. You just uncontrollable piss. But you, when your hair start growing in,
yeah,
you
can't. Yeah, no, some dumb ass shit. Fingernails get long right. In a motherfucker, nigga. Like that, you looking like a cold ghoul. Like, nigga, fuck this
that's
shit.
That's hilarious,
I'm just
bro.
Gonna let it do what it do, nigga,
you,
fuck
what
it.
If your hairline grow back, but the shit don't never stop coming down.
Now I got a bang.
And that shit that keep going.
I
got
the
bang. Like
hey, play the Addams Family shit again. That's what that was.
That shit just come all the way down to your nuts.
Nigga, that man, that nigga growing hell
out. Just keep going down. That
nigga look like
it. It won't even stop till it gets right
like
past
thing,
your nipples.
Nigga, fuck that. That's why I'm going natural, nigga. I went
Sharon.
Natural in 2020.
Yeah, fuck yeah, that, man. If your shit gone, just let it be gone, man. Just work with what you have.
Right. That's what I tell people. You worry about what I don't got. I'm worried about what I got, nigga, because in March, I ain't had shit.
They think, like, women gonna
God
give
damn,
a fuck.
This
they don't know
from.
That. A lot of women don't have a lot of shit going on under them wigs either.
So. Mm-mm. It don't be no. Nothing. It be bald spot.
Saying,
it be dick right here. Yeah. You ever seen a bitch had a bald spot right here?
I ain't gonna
like,
say
shit.
That's what I'm
wig.
Saying. I ain't gonna say shit about her bald spot. She gonna say shit about mine. That's why we just sit at the house and look at each other like, you better not. Okay.
Right.
We the same kind of bald, just in different spots.
Right. Right. Exactly. Okay. When I was bald, that's what I would tell women all the time. Because you know, about it. Take your hat off. Like, bitch, take your hat off. Do you take yours off, I take mine off.
Same time,
same time.
Y'all niggas stupid.
We all been there before.
Wow.
Two, guess what the day is, man? Ain't we dropping it on the day?
It's the dropping today. The album dropping.
The album today, man. Today.
Yeah.
Because we're recording this from the future and then dropping it on today.
Mo Day, we talking the future. This shit dropped today.
So well, what gave you the motivation to do this one? You know what I mean? Like, because you got, I mean, your legacy is already cemented in my opinion. So what motivates you to keep putting out new shit?
That was a good word. What that was?
Cemented.
Yeah. Oh, submitted.
Cemented.
Oh, cemented. Oh, okay. Yeah, you said like, it so fast. Like, yeah. I'm like, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That nigga be studious, man.
Yeah, I don't bullshit.
Real studious.
I'm still passionate about what I do. I still love what I do. I still do it every single night.
Every night, still?
Every single night when I leave here.
You finna go right now to the studio?
Yeah, I just love what I do. I used to have, people don't even know me yet. Yeah. I had a studio over here for 8 years.
Word.
Yeah. Who all on this album though?
Y'all are here today.
Today? You gotta tell them it's out today. Tell them what album is.
Man, we'll check it out.
Yeah. They gotta tell them what the fuck album is today.
I was trying to so help me God, but they can listen to it and see all the all the people on there.
Hey man, cause today. That motherfucker shake your money
today,
maker,
go
man.
Get today,
you know what I mean? Like that shake it, this the live band. What was the motivation behind that HBCU? Ooh. You know what I mean? That just that, you know, using that, especially during the pandemic when ain't nobody had no homecomings this year. That was major.
Yeah, so Help Me God is a album from 2 Chainz, by 2 Chainz, that is bringing, it's a time capsule of 2020, so to speak, but it's more of the light side. It's more of the light side. I describe it as the other side of the pillow, you know what I'm saying? Like the cool side, because it's not like driven off protest and social inequalities. It's not really that type of music. It's more fun. When you talk about money making, you talk about black excellence. I mean, I didn't know the vice president was going to be who she was, but it was just like a HBCU thing. Chris Paul was pushing the narrative. It's just like a thing. I went to one, and the fact that it was a band sampling, it's just like the whole halftime feel. It's never been done before.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff I do first. I just don't put it in folks' face. But you know I did.
Yeah, you the first nigga I ever heard say exotic.
Yeah, so.
Swear to God. Applause the weed. I never heard a nigga describe weed as exotic before 2 Chainz.
Don't Chris Paul go to.
He go to Winston-Salem State. Yeah, Chris Paul go to where I went to
school. Right now?
Yep, he enrolled there. He go there now.
Right now?
Right now. Chris Paul.
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul.
Wait, he taking up?
Fuck if I know. But he go there.
Damn, why he ain't go back to. Wake Forest,
because that's not HBCU.
Right.
And it's in Winston-Salem, though. It's in the same city, but yeah, you know what I mean?
Too, so
he's from Winston, too.
That's smart.
So, you know what I mean? He decided to go back.
It's just a wave. It's a good energy. Quarantine Thick is something that I couldn't have made before 2020 because it deals with being in the house, eating
clothes,
bad
environments
food,
and shit.
Hey, that shit hot, clothes.
Too. Shout out to Big Lotto.
Yeah, Big Lotto on there going crazy. She from Clayco.
She doing her shit.
It made sense. Do that.
Well, we appreciate you, man, because you're a motherfucking OG, man. OG, triple OG. You dig what I'm saying? And if you still be out here hollering your business and maneuvering, and it's hard. Niggas don't understand being out here in the music game. They think they can still keep on keeping on. No, only the strong survive. And your ass goddamn holding on and you doing your motherfucking thing.
Appreciate
we appreciate you, OG.
Appreciate y'all, man.
The most expensivest. Yes, sir. Uh oh, well.
I'm putting some ashes on my dick.
Motherfucker went roaring, then.
That's what you on, though.
Thuggin'. Which one?
We gotta talk about most expensivest for you.
Yes, sir.
Up out the trap, though, man. First of all, like DC said, we appreciate you stopping through the trap.
Yeah, it's major, man.
Three seasons deep in the most expensivest.
Probably more seasons than that, because I started on. YouTube first.
Yeah.
But most expensive is on hold right now, obviously due to the pandemic and COVID. That show involves traveling. It involves a lot of stuff that's just not plausible, I think, for the station and the people involved, you know, especially it ain't worth me risking
your health.
Yeah. What's going on.
Right.
So
That'll hospital bill will be the most expensive shit you ever had if you get that goddamn COVID.
That should be
$15,000 hamburgers and shit just to know that this type of shit
exists. Right. I seen you smoke like a dab that was a nigga. You just was like, nah, nigga, I've had better shit than this. But it's cool.
I'm gonna tell you now, any one of us could do that show because it's no script, it's improv. Mm-hmm. So if this camera, imagine the first time y'all met and you selling these beanies, you know what I'm saying, for an outrageous amount.
That's how we met, actually.
And I do have beanies for sale. They're not for an outrageous amount, but I do have them for sale. Appreciate that plug.
This is the idea, though. Like, so DC would be like, what's up, my nigga? Like, what's up? She'd be like, what's up? Shit, what's up? I want, you know, 4,000 for Skull Gun. His reaction will be on camera. Ain't no cut, let's move the camera, ain't none of that shit. Right. Once he tell you this Skull Cat card, you're going to be like,
what the fuck?
Nigga, why? You know, whatever that reaction is, and that's what people, it's a real organic reaction because I don't even
know. You never know what you're going to see.
I don't even know niggas' name. They might tell me this is, you know, Jason or something like that sometime, but sometimes I just be like, bro, what you got going on? And once they tell me what's going on, sometimes you'll be naturally curious too, like anybody else, like, for real? And call that. So that's the more educational side. Mm-hmm. The funny shit when it be like, you know what I'm saying, why?
Right.
Bro, why you spent this on this? Like, why?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So the shit is, it just fit my personality, you know what I'm saying? And it's probably the funnest check that I ever got, you know?
Did they ever give you any of that shit you sample?
Yeah. I get a lot of it, and then some of them I don't. But I've changed. I've changed every business on there. I've changed their what they have going on as a business. I've definitely increased their sales by being on my show.
Fucking right.
Spread.
There we go.
Fucking right.
Hell yeah. Big time balling, nigga.
The guilty.
You hit me.
Damn, man, we got 2 chains on the show, man.
I know, man. We moving up in the world.
Oh, you moving up? Fuck you. Hold on, let me tell you about Prince with something. You old puss-ass, bitch-ass nigga. Boy, I'm on his ass. Nah, that nigga didn't even let me back in the school, you old bitch-ass nigga.
It's principal.
Yeah, one of my principals, man. You old bitch. Old hoe-ass nigga. Yeah, did you remember you talking about gonna be shit? Ooh, I can't wait to see you, bitch ass nigga.
Bro, your principal told you you wasn't gonna be shit.
Man, nigga was like, oh man, he ain't said, but he said it in his actions. He ain't let me back in. But you threw me to the street.
What if he
bitch.
Did? What if he did?
I was thinking the same what thing. I was did? Like, somebody would be like, he did.
You heard me,
what did? If he what?
He did.
Man, I don't give a fuck, nigga. Fuck you talking about, bitch. Hey, that nigga talk about. Oh, get on.
That nigga, hey, you know everybody got one nigga like that, and they just hate them for.
Man, it ain't that all hate them, Jay. You know,
it just he ain't believe in you.
He ain't
see
me, man.
You saw it though. That's the most important part.
Dig what I'm saying?
You gotta see it. But fuck with another nigga see it
though. You be needing that. That's a part of the shit that got you that energy.
Mm-hmm.
That energy.
Who was that person for you, Jay? Who was the person that motivated you?
I ain't gotta say no name, they know who they is.
Man, the pink trap house is legendary.
More definitely.
We needed that one. Like, that's got people coming from all over the world coming to Atlanta, making sure they stop by the pink trap house.
Well, yeah. T.I. has the trap museum now, exactly. So it's kinda like, you know, like a continuous type of thing.
Like people, a cousin type shit.
Yeah, where people still come. Because people actually think I have something to do with that.
Right.
I donated my car over there, and I got a dope-ass setup over there.
Yeah.
But like Tip told me personally, the difference between yours and mine.
That nigga there, man. God damn. What'd he say? What'd he say the difference between?
That's my partner.
That nigga that crazy, man.
Nah, I was renting mine and he bought the location that he at.
Oh,
so
man,
that's just some, you know some what I'm saying, shit. Wakanda shit. You know, right. Some black, you know, right. Atlanta shit. You
I seen y'all that video y'all did when y'all was with Chappelle at the comedy club, man. That was dope, man. It's you know what I'm
crazy.
Saying?
Yeah, it was fun, man. Good vibes, man. Dave Chappelle.
He went crazy.
That nigga go crazy. I'm mad I miss his ass, man.
So he was here for like 3 or 4 days. I guess it was super on the hush. And they were actually doing COVID tests
outside, like before you get
that's in. What that nigga's so cold, because I actually went up to his summer camp. That nigga got had COVID testing centers all over the city.
He ain't playing.
Yeah.
I swear to God.
And he was testing everybody for free.
It was rapid,
you know how
right
mad
in?
You would be if you bought the ticket and can't get in because you test positive at the door?
Oh, no, nigga, mad as a it was a rapid test, so you would know then. They wouldn't give you, you have to, like, he tests whoever, like, it was like from such and such in the morning, get the test, they give you the wristband, so you good for the show. If you got the shit. You ain't getting no wristband, they ain't gonna let you.
That's what I'm saying. You'd be mad as a motherfucker. You'd pay to come up there to book the whole trip.
Excuse me, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're gonna have to
put you to the side.
To, yeah, step over there to the left real quick.
See the amber lamps going.
Yeah. You gonna have, yeah.
They about to take you somewhere.
Put another mask on.
Step in an amber lamps right there. Hey, right here. Get him away. He's contaminated right here.
I wanted to ask you before you get out of here, why the, that name for this album that came out today? What made
so
you?
So Help Me God.
So Help Me God.
You know, So Help Me God is like an old thing they do when they, like a testimony type of thing, your truth, when they appoint you or anoint you to something like that. And it's also used as a term when you swear, like when you really mean something, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. So Help Me God, like, you know what I mean? Whether it's good stuff or some smoke. So for me, in this particular case, So Help Me God, it's like, this motherfucker, like, So Help Me God, this bitch here is, you know what I mean? It's on another level for its creativity. It's on another level for its production. A lot of shit I did was with younger producers, just mixing that, you know what I'm saying, that old song with that new, even the features are just like, they fit sonically. So it's one of them things where I always wanted to put God in my title. And this was like one of the ones, you know, like when you be, you know, even when you go to court, you got to get on the stand.
Right.
You got to tell, when you're supposed to tell the truth, they be like, put your hand on the Bible. So Help Me God. So this album is really my truth.
Going in.
That's what it is.
Going in.
First, I can't wait. Boy, I know, boy.
I can't wait to leave right here so I can go get it. Matter of fact, I'm going to get it right
always,
now.
You always put together projects, man, that's so dope. And sonically, they just, you know, they always, it ain't too many 2 Chainz projects that you got to skip a track on, man, because all of them is worth the listen just to hear what you going to say and how you put the words together. And just, you know, the way that you, you know, put your music together, man. So, you know, I'm excited about it. I can't wait to hear it, because we all 2 Chainz fans around this bitch. We've been riding for a minute. Tallest nigga in the strip club.
That nigga got a minute stand still.
What? Gotta grab that motherfucker.
Man, we fuck with all of them, man, because like you said, they hit certain nigga moments, like, on some other shit, man. You just one of them niggas that we always gonna be a fan of, man. And for you to come through and fuck with us and let us know that you see our movement, man, and just watching yours transition and go from the, you know, the hood to the fashion, man, we support everything you got going on. You're always.
Love.
You know what I'm saying? We don't even, like this said, ain't even no interview type shit, man. No, if you got anything going on that you want to get out to the world through the social media podcast platform, bro, you're always welcome to come fuck with us at the Sam Show, man.
Because this shit means something, right? Because, you know, we was fans of you before anybody knew who we was. And right, to be able to make it to a point where you sitting next to us telling us about what we got going on, mm-hmm, nigga, that's amazing, man. So thank you for that, man.
Gotta appreciate come you. Bless our 85 show.
Please,
Jay, you know what? I know how niggas is. Okay, I know how it is. Let me tell you. All we want.
Do your shit.
All we want. Hook verse. Hook verse. Go on, get your ass on up out of here. Hook verse. Get your ass up out of here.
Yeah.
We don't want no song. We don't want hook verse. Get your ass up out of here.
We need you on the 85. I mean, just even if you just come perform. Nigga, you can come perform shit that niggas ain't never heard before that you just want to perform. We don't give a fuck. Come in and say ABC 30 times. We just need you on the set because it means something. It validates what we trying to put out, man, because, you know, you make timeless classic music, and that's what we want to, you know,
be a part of.
We want to be a part of that, man. So we need you on the 85, man.
Definitely.
It's a whole energy, man. Well, there you have it, folks.
Most definitely.
And to all the people watching this, we fuck with y'all, the 85%ers. We love y'all. Y'all hold us down so much, man.
And then my principal dad, my bad.
Rest in peace if y'all.
That shit was laying on my heart. It was like, what if he did? Damn.
But if you watching this, if you watch this,
you're still alive, nigga.
Look, look, look.
You heard
what
the fuck I said. Come again.
But if you're alive.
You heard what I said.
And make sure you go get that new 2 Chainz album. So help me God.
Get that right now. So help me God.
Go get it right now. Fuck you, man.
This was and still is the 85 South Show.
Appreciate you on me.
That's love right there, G. Oh, man, love. That's much love.
Hell yeah.
My boy got beat now.
One request for Chico.
Yeah.
He do his thing.
Hold on. Okay.
So help me God.
He do his thing, too.
No, be me on. She gonna go on. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.